This is another one of those sessions that will not take too long, and you'll have noticed there is some overlap between some of the sessions. Hartvig did a really good session for us yesterday about those personal conversations. We had the session when we were looking at the appeal, and that involved a little bit of personal sort of conversation too. And this one that they've asked me to do is all about one-to-one. So again, it's really that whole sort of personal conversation thing. So there'll be a little bit of overlap. There'll be perhaps some different things that might be, I hope, will be helpful to you. Let's just read together from John's Gospel. I suppose one of the most famous one-to-one encounters in Scripture, really. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 26. In fact, I wonder, it might be better if somebody read that in Norwegian, and that means you can do that more quickly and you'll all understand it. So if somebody can read verses 1 to 26, and then somebody else, verse 39 to 42.
Da Herren visste at fariseerne hadde hørt at Jesus vant flere disipler og døpte flere enn Johannes, enn da Jesus selv ikke døpte, men disiplene hans, forlot han Judea og dro tilbake til Galilea. Han måtte dra gjennom Samaria, så kom han til en by i Samaria som het Sykar, nær det jordstykket som Jakob ga til sin sønn Josef. Jakobs brønn var der. Jesus var nå trett etter reisen, og derfor satte han seg ned ved brønnen. Det var omkring den sjette time. En kvinne fra Samaria kom da for å hente vann. Jesus sa til henne, «Gi meg å drikke!» Disiplene hans hadde nemlig gått inn i byen for å kjøpe mat. Den samaritanske kvinnen sier da, «Hvordan kan du som jøde be om drikke fra meg, en samaritansk kvinne?» Jøder omgås nemlig ikke med samaritanere. Jesus svarte henne og sa, «Hvis du kjente Guds gave og visste hvem han er som sier til deg, gi meg å drikke, da ville du ha bedt ham, og han skulle gitt deg levende vann.» Kvinnen sier til ham, «Herre, du har ikke noe å øse opp med, og brønnen er dyp. Hvordan kan du så det levende vann? Hvor har du så det levende vannet fra? Du er vel ikke større enn vår far Jakob, som ga oss brønnen og selv drakk av den, slik som hans sønner og budskapen hans også gjorde.» Jesus svarte og sa til henne, «Hver den som drikker av dette vannet vil tørste igjen, men hver den som drikker av det vannet som jeg gir ham, skal aldri i evighet tørste. Men det vannet jeg gir ham, blir i ham en kilde med vann som veller fram til evig liv.» Kvinnen sa til ham, «Herre, gi meg dette vannet, så jeg slipper å tørste, og heller ikke behøver å komme hit for å hente opp vann.» Jesus sier til henne, «Gå og rop på mannen din, og kom tilbake hit.» Kvinnen svarte og sa, «Jeg har ingen mann.» Jesus sa til henne, «Du gjorde rett i å si, jeg har ingen mann, for du har hatt fem menn, og den du har nå er ikke din mann. Der talte du sant.» Kvinnen sier til ham, «Herre, jeg innser at du er en profet. Våre forfedre tilba på dette fjellet, og dere jøder sier at Jerusalem er det stedet hvor man skal tilbe.» Jesus sier til henne, «Kvinne, tro meg, den time kommer da dere ikke skal tilbe Faderen, hverken på dette fjellet eller i Jerusalem. Dere tilber det dere ikke kjenner. Vi tilber det vi kjenner, for frelsen kommer fra jødene. Men den time kommer, og er nå, da de sanne tilbedere skal tilbe Faderen i ånd og sannhet. For Faderen søker dem som tilber ham slik. Gud er ånd, og de som tilber ham, må tilbe i ånd og sannhet.» Kvinnen sier til ham, «Jeg vet at Messias kommer, han som kalles Kristus. Når han kommer, skal han forkynne oss alt.» Jesus sier til henne, «Jeg er han, jeg som taler med deg.»
Then we have the final part, verses 39 to 42.
And 27 to
39.
Yes, 42. 39. Det var mange av samaritanerne fra denne byen som trodde på Jesus på grunn av kvinnens ord da hun vitnet. Han har sagt meg alt det jeg har gjort. Da nå samaritanerne kom til han, ba de ham å bli hos dem. Og han ble der 2 dager, og mange flere kom til tro på grunn av hans ord. Og de sa til kvinnen, nå tror vi ikke lenger på grunn av det du sa, for nå har vi selv hørt, og vi vet at han i sannhet er verdens frelser. Men etter de 2 dagene dro han derfra til Galilea, for Jesus selv vitnet at en profet blir ikke aktet på sitt eget hjemsted. Da han nok... Ja.
Good. It's a wonderful story. I suppose if it was anybody other than Jesus having that conversation, we'd probably be saying things like, well, he could have mentioned this, and he didn't mention that, and he didn't cover that bit of the gospel. It's a fascinating conversation. And the fruit of that conversation is beyond anything that any of us could ever have imagined. I mean, you've had snippets of conversations already with people on the streets this week. I'm sure you came away thinking, should have said that, should have said this, didn't do that, didn't do this. And right now, somewhere beyond our seeing, things could be happening that would blow your mind if you knew about it. We just don't know. We just don't know. But the fruit of that one conversation led to a whole town coming to know Jesus. And it was it's a phenomenal story. And so I want us just to keep that in the back of our minds. I'm not going to do an exposition of that story, but we are going to pick up 1 or 2 things that I hope will be helpful in the way that Jesus conducted that. The first thing I would want to say is, start conversations with anybody. Okay? Develop just the art, in a sense, or the interest, or the curiosity of just wanting to talk to people. And I've got to be the first to put my hands up and say, in my experience, a lot of preaching evangelists are actually quite timid and introverted people. I'm one of those. You might see me out on the streets and I look full of confidence and I'm enjoying every moment of it. And I am. But you probably noticed maybe around the house here that I'll probably wander off and find a quiet place in the garden. I'm not one for getting into conversations easily. I'm quite timid, actually. I'm quite shy. I don't find that personal encounter as easy as standing up in front of a whole bunch of people. And others of you, you're really good at actually getting into conversation. And the thought of standing up in front of a crowd frightens the life out of you. We're all quite different. And I found that, as I say, a lot of people who are preaching evangelists, I think of a couple of big crusade evangelists that I know. Well, actually, one of them's just died. And they were exactly the same. Very, very quiet, introverted individuals who, after a big crusade meeting, would just sort of drift off on their own. And one was an entertainer as well. In fact, he started life as a magician. That's the way he earned his living, a secular magician, always in front of audiences. And yet, the rest of the time, very quiet. Very quiet individual. So it's a good thing to just to try to get into the habit of just starting conversations with anybody about anything. So you become comfortable about just being with people and just talking to people and knowing how just to ordinarily converse with people. Because if you don't do that, then when it comes to actually then having to try to talk to somebody about the gospel, that's even more difficult. Where and how do I begin? But if you're used to having conversations and just chatting and finding out who people are and having an interest in them and their background and where they're from and what they do and have they got family and all of that, when it comes to then just talking to them about Jesus, it's all so much easier. So get into that habit. Develop a genuine interest in people, which is why, and she hates me when I keep mentioning it, which is why Sue's good at this. You know, because she has a genuine interest in people. She really cares whether they're married or not, or how many kids they've got, and how old they are, and have they got any grandchildren, you know. And me, I'm not that bothered, to be honest. and to my shame, and I've really got to work at really getting to know people. And so just getting to that habit. And then we need to create space for conversations to happen. I hope you noticed in the story, Jesus didn't have to go via sidecar. He didn't have to go that way. It was probably actually quite a diversion to go that way. But he chose specifically to go via sidecar because he knew that he wanted to have this conversation with this woman at this well. And sometimes our lives can be so busy, so regimented, so tied to, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other, you know, little bells ringing in the background all the time saying, the next thing starts in 5 minutes, and now we've got to get onto that thing. And our whole lives are like that. And we need to create space where conversations can happen. And as busy people, that can be a difficulty. Sometimes as busy Christian people, that can be a real difficulty. I found that in my earlier years, just about all of my time I spent preaching at non-Christian people, but never, rarely ever just actually getting to know non-Christian people. And so later in life, I've tried to actually create space to get to know non-Christian men. So whether that's through the golf club or whatever else that I try to get along to, it gets me amongst non-Christian men in a non-threatening environment where they know exactly who I am, I know where they're at, and quite frequently we can more easily now and regularly now just get into conversation about Christian things. But I've had to create that space, make that room for those things to happen. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we've got to say, you know, I'm not going to spend the next hour necessarily studying. I could, but actually I'm going to go for a walk. And I'm going to take the dog with me. I'm going to take my little child with me, because I know that dogs and children will get me into conversation with people all the time, you know. In fact, even the Jehovah's Witnesses near us now, they come round with children because they know that that will immediately endear you to them because they've got two little children there or dogs or whatever. So we create a space where a conversation can happen. Hartvig with some really useful illustrations yesterday. Even just the thing, not putting your seat next to you on the bus or the tram. You've created a space by putting that on your lap for somebody else to come and sit there, if that's the way that the Lord is leading you. So Jesus didn't have to go via sidecar, but he did. He created a space for a conversation to happen. At the beginning of a conversation, it's always good. I find it good to introduce myself because people are suspicious. Invariably, people think, you know, think that any stranger who comes to talk to them wants something. So you either belong to an energy company or, you know, it's one of these things where you're very suspicious of strangers. That's the kind of culture that we live in. In fact, they think you're really odd if you just talk to them for the sake of just talking to them. So I always find it's good just to relax the situation just by a very friendly approach. Hi, my name's Dave. I know we've never met. I'm working with a group of people right here, actually people from the churches here in Oslo. And we're really just quite interested in talking about how people can know God personally. And I wondered, if you don't mind me asking, whether that's something that means anything to you. Do you know God personally for yourself? And so we begin some sort of a conversation. But it's just that opening little gambit. Hi, my name's Dave. I know we've never met, but I'm actually working with some people here. And so it's just that friendly, you know, that hopefully will endear them to me. Because they are suspicious. Just to go to somebody with a tract in your hand, well, I've watched it happen yesterday. You know, you almost see people doing a dive. They panic over their faces. Somebody, I mean, even, you know, all affair. You know, what could be more innocent than a child with a tract? And yet it's like, you know, people are really scared. It's strange. So I don't even have the tracts, you know, I have in my pocket, but I just want to go open and friendly and non-confrontational. So introduce yourself, state who you are, who you're with, why you're there. And that will help people just to settle down. Ask questions. Which is exactly what Jesus did. And again, it's a bit of ground that was covered yesterday by Harvey. Ask those questions. And the question he asked quite simply was, could he get me something to drink? So he asked for some help. And often that's a good place to start with people, just to ask them a question. And if it's a genuine question, don't ask for directions if you know where you're going. Because that's cheating. Okay, so make it a genuine question. If you're going to ask somebody for something, then make it a real and a genuine question that you ask. But I often ask questions, and so I'll introduce myself. I'll say, I'm with these people here, etc., etc. Do you come from Oslo? Yeah, I do. Okay, well, I'm working with some of the churches in Oslo, and we're actually out asking, finding what people feel about the possibility of a relationship with God, knowing God personally for themselves. And I wonder what you might think about that. And so again, it's just asking those questions. And just being open to God. First of all, the right question to ask. And so at the end of a presentation, it's quite simple, really, because you simply say, excuse me, my name's Dave. I'm with some of the people. In fact, I'm with the guy that's just been speaking there with the sketchboard. I wondered what you thought of what he said. So it's a very low-key question, and now I'm going to listen to what that person has to say to me. Can you tell me what caused you to stop and listen? Because I know sometimes people are sort of quite sceptical and a little bit wary of what's going on the streets. I just wonder why you stopped, what made you stop and listen. Well, actually, we're just watching you on the sketchboard. Oh, that's interesting that. That's the first time he's done that today. We've been teaching them this particular method to use on the streets because we want the opportunity to talk to people, as he just did, about God. And I wondered what you felt about some of the things he said. And so, again, we're just developing that. We need to listen and to be relaxed. Try not to be thinking about what you're going to say next. Listen to what they say and be thoroughly relaxed and comfortable and smiling. Don't be too quick to rush in and jump to any conclusions about the person that you're talking to. I came across a quite interesting graphic about how we listen, called whole body listening. And it's quite interesting, really, and quite important, a lot of them. Eyes looking at the person talking. Have you had conversations with people who've been talking to you and then all of a sudden they've done, and just looked, they've looked somewhere else and they're still talking, or you're talking to them and all the time, there's pastors do it on a Sunday morning. All right? They do it all the time because they're so busy and they know they need to talk to six different people before they leave church that Sunday, and you're talking to them and they're having this you're having this conversation and they're sort of going over your shoulder looking and all of this is going on, and you know you don't have their attention. So look at them. Look at the person talking. Give them your full attention. Feet quiet on the floor. In other words, none of this, just relaxed, feet in one place, just listening. Ears ready to listen. Body facing the person you're talking to. There's only one time I would qualify that if I want to show them something, then I would say, have you seen this? And now I would stand alongside them. I don't say, have you seen this? I want to alongside on this occasion and do it. And then when I finish with that, then I might a bit more sort of face-to-face that way. So body facing the speaker, mouth quiet, no talking, humming or making sounds, particularly chewing sounds. All right, be careful with that one as well. All right, there's nothing worse than talking to a teenager and they're going bubbles, and pops and all that sort of stuff. So nothing to distract them, in other words. Brain thinking about what is being said. Really trying to focus. What are they saying? Not thinking, well, this is a whole load of rubbish they're talking about here, because I really want to talk to them about this. And as soon as they shut up, I'm going to start talking about the gospel. That's completely wrong. Listen to what they're saying. Well, actually, I'm here in Oslo. I've been to visit my mum in hospital, and I just happened to spot you just here in the street. Oh, your mum's in hospital? Yeah. I hope it's nothing too serious. Well, actually, sure. I'm sorry to hear that, And then you might want to develop that a little bit further in terms of your own relationship with God and how, you know, I remember a time when my own father was in hospital just recently, and I just don't know how some people cope when loved ones are in hospital. In fact, I know I wouldn't have coped myself were it not for, you know, my God, my Saviour, my Jesus. I find him just a real strength and a real comfort. Where do you get your strength from? Yeah, and just picking up things he might have said, then maybe just developing that. Not if it's a complete red herring. Okay. Well, actually, I'm here in Oslo because of the football match on, and I'm here to support my local team. Oh, great. Who do you support there? Well, we support Oslo. Actually, the English Premiership is, now we're going way off beam now. Okay. So just try and temper it. You know, so, well, I'm here to support a football team. You know what? Where I come from in Newcastle, football's a religion. Mind you, it's not the religion I sort of support. I support Newcastle, but when it comes to religion, there's just something very real in Jesus. I almost hate other things being called religion, you know. And so now I've switched it now onto what I want to talk about. So heart caring about what the person is saying, hands quiet in your lap, by your side, in your pockets, but not fidgeting. So, you know, it's either sort of, you know, you're just listening, or it's just hands in your pockets and you're listening. You know, you're quiet. Often not that, because that's a bit of a closed position. So I tend to be a bit more open and relaxed, and that's great. But I just found that quite an interesting little graphic on whole body listening. So we listen with our whole body, not just our ears. And we give complete, undivided attention to what the person is saying. Arouse curiosity. That's what Jesus did. When he said to her, actually, you know, and she sort of said, I'll get you a drink, yeah. Actually, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. And you know, you can almost see the sort of the quizzical look come across the woman's face as going, no, you wouldn't. And it's almost just like, oh, yes, I would. Oh, no, you wouldn't. Oh, yeah. No, you wouldn't, because you've not got a bucket. And the well's deep. And he says, I'm not talking about that kind of water. Notice how he gradually leads her in there. And you can almost see her stop mid, you know, as she's reaching for a jar. You're not talking about that. What other kind of water is there? I'm talking about living water. So that's like a well inside that just wells up into. Wow. So we arouse, trying to arouse curiosity, if at all possible. You're on the street sharing something today that actually I personally have seen change the lives of literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years. And if I tell you what it is, you'll probably go, But actually, it is the most profound and the most wonderful thing. And what I'm actually talking about is actually knowing God personally and experiencing the kind of wonderful change that God can make in an individual's life. And so, arouse that bit of curiosity. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about my church. I'm talking about something quite profound and wonderful that can happen in the life of an individual. And so I'm trying to arouse that curiosity, however you do that. Sometimes we've aroused it already by the fact that we've used a sketchboard. I've used a magic trick. It's aroused some curiosity. What made you stop? Why is that a trick? I thought it was a wonderful trick. It is a great trick, isn't it? You know, and it's just something that we use. We enjoy using it. But it's actually a means to a very wonderful end, because we just want to share with people just how wonderful God is. And by using something that's very attractive like that, it just gives us that opportunity to talk about God and how wonderful he is. The trick, of course, you'll know, wasn't magic at all. It was just an illusion, a sleight of hand. But the God that we talk about is a God of very real miracles. And I believe he actually would want to work a miracle in your life today, if you'd let him. Curiosity. What do you mean? You know. So however you do it, we arouse that curiosity. Let's just push on. I don't want to get beyond 5:30. Don't get stuck in fruitless arguments, particularly this afternoon. Now, I've not got lots of experience of talking with Muslims, I'll be honest. We don't come across them in my part of the country where I am. There are some on the far side of Newcastle. We rarely encounter them under normal circumstances. So I've not got a lot of experience in that, I'll admit it. But for the guys that I've been talking to today about where we're going, it will be quite possible to get stuck into endless conversation, debate, discussion that's got no end to it because some people have got no interest other than trying to get their point across. So try and avoid getting caught into that and spending all afternoon with the same group of two people talking about the same things and they've got no way they want to change, where actually there might be somebody else there who's a little bit more open and is ready to converse and have a proper discussion. So try and avoid those fruitless and endless arguments. And it's not just Muslims. It can happen about creation. It can happen about sexuality. Nowadays, people, so you say you're a Christian, they want to know what your view is on homosexuality. It's one of the first questions. If it's on the media, the general media, news, radio, television and radio, that is exactly the first question they ask. Anybody who announces they're a Christian, they want to nail them on the homosexual issue. Every time. I've listened to it so many times now back home, and it's we've written to the BBC about it. It's just appalling the way that they pick on that one thing to nail every Christian they ever get on their broadcast. So don't get stuck into those kinds of fruitless arguments if you can help it. So church, theology differences, sexuality, evolution. Note how Jesus dealt with it in the story. Because as soon as she thinks, you know, I can give you, then he says, you know, where's your husband? Or he said, well, I've had, and she said, oh, he's not, you've had five husbands. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. And she goes, all the alarm bells are ringing. This is no ordinary guy, this. This guy knows stuff about me. He's a prophet. He's somebody a bit special. So straight away, she switches into emergency mode. Actually, while we worship on this mountain, we're Catholics. Whereas you're Anglicans over here, you know. And Jesus says, hey, I'm not getting into that argument. It doesn't matter whether you worship over there or whether you worship over there. What matters is who you worship and why you worship. That's what matters. So I'm not going to get into that argument of I'm a Baptist and you're a Methodist and I'm a Pentecostal and you're Reformed. I'm not going to get into that. I want to get into who you worship and why you worship. The reality of it, the heart of it. That's what matters. And that's exactly what Jesus does. So he avoids getting into the argument and homes it right in on what really matters. And what really matters is Jesus. So we share Jesus. And at one point, Jesus says to him, she said about, you know that Messiah is coming. And he says, I who speak to you, I'm he. It's me. I am the Messiah. And at that point, she freaks out. I mean, you know, she really thought I can't cope with that. Well, wow. And it's that whole realization that she rushes back then into her town and just spreads the word everywhere. And that's the thing that gets me as well. Because here's a woman, the only reason she's at the well at that time of day is because she's been despised, she's been written off, the people won't talk to her, won't associate with her, she's not got many friends, the other women avoid her like the plague, that's why she's on her own. And yet the first instinct is to go back and tell everybody. All these people that have... If it had been me or you on a bad day, we might have said, well, stick you lot. I know the truth now. No. But she didn't. She just wanted to share it with everybody. And she got back. And the results of that was wonderful. So share Jesus. And we can do that in all kinds of ways. I'm not going to spend much time on that at all, other than to say we've all used leaflets and things with the right literature. That can be a very easy way of doing that. And it keeps us on track and it keeps us, you know, on a tight time schedule. We cover all the things, we want to talk about without getting lost. So a tract is a useful thing to use. I don't know whether you've ever seen this. And we just go through it page by page quickly, pointing out the main highlights. So a tract with pictures is sometimes quite useful because you can do that quickly. If there's loads of words, it's not a good one to use in that kind of situation. Good one to give to people to take away, but not to use as a counselling tool. The Evangie Cube is wonderful, that demonstrated last night. That is great. Sometimes I just use the hand. So I say, actually, you know, the message of Jesus, it's right there. It's right there. Do you know what? God loves you. God loves you. He thinks you're great. He made you. He designed you. You're wonderful. But hey, actually, the stuff we do, You know, God loves you, but there are things that we all do. The pointing finger. You know, we've all sinned. We've all broken God's laws. We've all done stuff we ought not to have done. You know. Biggest finger of all, Jesus. Stands head and shoulders above anybody who ever lived. Why? Because he's the Son of God. I'll talk a bit about Jesus. And then I'll talk about the ring finger. How we can have a relationship with Jesus because of what he did upon the cross. The fact that he died and rose again for us. We can have a relationship with him. And then that little finger. Have you noticed? You can't grip anything without that little finger. It's the little finger that has the strength. It's the smallest finger, the weakest finger, but without it, you can't grip. Not really. It's that little finger that just gives that. And Jesus says, I will never, ever, ever let you go. I'll hang on to you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When we're in that relationship with him, he'll keep us. He'll keep us for all eternity. So I often just use my hand as a little visual aid. And the good thing about that is they've often got two. So they can go away and use it themselves and remember it. if you've got no other visual aid, that's a good one to use. So in your chosen method, just share Jesus. Could be that at that point you get out your little Bible and you sort of say, let me just show a couple of verses from the Bible. Don't show them six or seven because that's too many. They'll forget them anyway. And you don't even actually need to say chapter and verse where they are because they're going to forget anyway. Okay, give them a leaflet with that on, and that's helping them remember. But just sort of say, well, I just want to show the verse here. It's in the Bible. Actually, it's in a book called John, which is in the New Testament. And here's this little verse here. This is what it says. Just think about that for a minute and just talk them through it. So however you do it, just share Jesus, because that's so important. Love them. Don't judge them. You can meet some pretty screwed up people out there. And you can meet some pretty nasty people out there as well. Try not to judge them and let it be clear that you love them. Not just that God loves them, but you love them as well. And there's a genuine care and a genuine concern. It's so easy sometimes to maybe get into this, I've mentioned it before, this adversarial, me and you sort of situation. You know, you're wrong, I'm right. No. We're not going to go down that particular road. Jesus could have had a right go at that woman. But she'd been married 5 times. She's now living with a bloke. He could have really gone for her big time. He didn't even take it up. He knew about her. She knew that he knew. She felt the guilt already. Not that necessarily she was guilty for all of it, because in those days the man could write off the woman off and just switch. She's been rejected 5 times already, so don't blame the woman. She's the one that's been the bad end of what people have done to her, and the very fact that she's now living with a bloke who hasn't got the decency to enter into a proper relationship with her. So don't see her. I like to see her more of a victim rather than the guilty party here. However, Jesus didn't even develop that. And when people, you know, are often very much aware of what's going on in their lives, and they don't need us to sort of suddenly start heaping judgment upon them. Once we've identified the fact that we are sinners and that we need God's forgiveness, that's probably as far as we need to go. They've acknowledged that. And so Jesus just dealt with her very gently regarding that. She'd been abused enough. She didn't need even more condemnation being heaped upon her. She was aware of her facial features, her demeanour at that point would have been such that Jesus could see the brokenness in the woman. Been married 5 times. You're living with a guy. And he would see the shame. Ask them who would like to know Christ for themselves. And that's where we came in last night, on the appeal, in a sense. You know, would you like? We've gone through the gospel. You know, we've shared a bit of our own testimony. Say, what about you? Would you like to know Christ in that way yourself, right now, right here? Well, yeah, I think I would. Sure. Yeah, I think I would. Why would you? What is it that really appeals to you about that? And we're trying to find out whether she's understood or he's understood anything that I've said. And if I'm getting the right answers, the right vibes, then I maybe can put one or two extra bits in there. But I just want to make sure that they understand before I start leading anybody into any kind of prayer. And then we offer to pray with them. And what you pray with them will depend upon what, how the discussion has gone. It may be you've had a great discussion, you've gotten nowhere, it's quite clear they don't want to trust Christ, you've given them that opportunity. And so just like you might say, by the way, but just before you go, you did mention right at the beginning that you're visiting your mother in hospital or whatever. Would you mind if I just, could I just pray for you before you go? Because I'd love to pray for your mum and for you. Clearly what was a difficult time in your family. Is that okay? And invariably people will say, yeah, please do that. I'd love that. I appreciate that. I find that people are very open on the streets to receive prayer. So don't be embarrassed to do that. Or if it is that they want to receive Christ, clearly pray with them about that. And then before they go, say, look, just before you go, I just want to pray with you that God really will just bless you and encourage you and help you at the beginning of this new part of your journey with him. We'll be in touch because if at all possible, I'm going to get their contact details and begin, that begins the whole process of follow-up. So I might get an email address or, you know, messenger or whatever it is that we do these days, address, a phone number, a mobile number to text. And, you know, I'll be in touch. We found out where they live. I might be able to put you in, give you some names of Christians in your area. And if you wish, I can pass on your number, but only if you give me permission to do so, and you'll find that helpful. So get those details if you can, and then right at the very end there, accept that you might be just that one link in a very long chain. We've mentioned that before. We keep on mentioning it because we get discouraged when maybe it doesn't end the way we want it to end. But where there are people that are on a journey. Some of us took a long time before we came to Christ, and we must remember that other people take a long time as well. And this might just be one step on their journey and a very important link at that. So it's important to leave a good impression. Leave them glad that they talked to you, excited about the conversation. And if you were to meet them again, they'd be quite happy to spend a little bit longer with you. And that would be great. So remember, smile a lot, get a lot of eye contact, and keep your appearance and your hygiene good as well. So there's nothing about that that puts them off before you even get talking. Okay? Good. Let's just pray now, and then we'll be committing the afternoon to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for all the people that we meet on a day-to-day basis. And Lord, we live in a world where conversation is not something that people engage in easily, not publicly. A lot of the people we'll see this afternoon will have earphones plugged in to their ears. They want to be in their own cocoon. They don't want to listen to other voices. Lord, I pray, bring people across our paths. Help us to create the space for good things to happen. And Lord, I pray this afternoon that you'll have people prepared even now with whom we can talk, converse, have the opportunity to share Christ. And that, Lord, that would be a significant step on their journey to knowing you. And Lord, if it is in your timing, even today, Lord, to see people come to know faith in Jesus and to yield their lives to him. Amen. Look after us, Lord, please. Bless us, keep us safe, and use us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.